As we will be continuing our discussion from the morning session, we discussed about lessons from Dhruva Maharaj's life. So there are a lot of points covered in the morning. So many of you are not there in the morning. So who are not there in the morning class, please raise your hand. So many of you are not there. So because of that, I have to summarize whatever we discussed in the morning. Then we'll continue from there. So Dhruva Maharaj is a very interesting character in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in this age. While he was in Jagannath Puri, he used to listen to these pastimes again and again. So it's a very interesting and very important topic for any devotee who wants to practice devotional service. And we are discussing that from the teachings of Dhruva Maharaj, we learn so many things. And we discuss that we learn 6 things from the lesson, from the episode of Dhruva Maharaj. And we discussed, we learn detachment, we learn austerity, and faith in the words of the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhakti is the process to solve all the problems in our life. Bhakti is a process by which we can elevate our consciousness. And Dhruva Maharaj's life is a very nice advertisement for bhakti, because a 5-year child, Dhruva Maharaj was 5 years old when he was performing this austerity. So if a 5-year-old boy can do this, why not all of us can do that? And we started the discussion and we covered 2 sins in the whole episode, because we divided the whole episode into 5 sins. So first sin was that Dhruva Maharaj was the son of Maharaj Uttanapad. Uttanapad was a Vedic king in the ancient times. And Uttanapad had 2 wives. One wife's name was Suruchi, and other wife's name was Suniti. Suruchi had the son named Uttam, and Suniti's son was Dhruva. So one day, King Uttanapad was sitting on his chariot, and his son Uttam was on the lap of King Uttanapad. And by seeing that, Dhruva wanted to sit on the lap of his father also. But Suruchi was very much dominating over King Uttanapad, and King Uttanapad was very much attracted by Suruchi. Whatever Suruchi used to say, Uttanapad used to follow that. So when Dhruva wanted to sit and trying to sit on the lap of King Uttanapad, Suruchi became very angry and used very harsh words towards Dhruva. And Dhruva got very angry by those words and started crying and went to his mother, Suniti. And we learned so many lessons from that episode, that how material source of security will not help us in the time of need. It will always put us down. Second thing we learned, that our false ego or pride is the cause of our harsh words. And we discussed how we can overcome the pride. We can overcome the pride by pride, means we can pass on the credit to others. We should reveal our heart, and we should get free from illusion and accept criticism. We should develop humility and we should engage in service. And by these processes, we can be free from the pride. And we also discussed that harsh words to be avoided, because words play important role in our life, and it can change someone's life in a positive way or negative way, how we use the words. And according to Bhagavad Gita, we discussed that our speech should have 5 qualities. It should not disturb or dishearten the heart of a listener. It should not break the heart. it should be truthful, it should be pleasing, it should be beneficial, and it should be based on Shastra. So whatever speech we should have these five qualities. I repeat. So it should be, speech should be like that, it should not break the heart of the person. It should be truthful, it should be pleasing, it should be beneficial, and it should be based on Shastra. And we also discussed that anger is very, very bad thing, and Dhruva Maharaj became very angry. Why we become angry? When our desires are not fulfilled, we become angry. So material desires are the root cause of our anger. And anger is very polluting and it disturbs the consciousness of a practicing devotee. And it is mentioned in the Shastra, when you become angry, your whole body gets polluted. So therefore we should be free from anger. And last point we forgot to mention in the morning class, that King Uttanapad was partial to Suruchi. But a leader like the king like leader should be neutral. But King Uttanapad was very partial towards Suruchi. He had two wives, but he was attracted by Suruchi and he was always having partiality towards Suruchi. He always used to favor Suruchi and neglected Suniti. But that is not the quality of a leader. A leader should not be influenced by his wife. So what King Uttanapad was influenced. And that's why the whole disaster took place. So I'll narrate a story to establish that, how it disturbs. So one day, King Akbar was walking on the street along with his minister Birbal. Birbal and Akbar were walking on the street. And Akbar saw that one husband and wife are quarreling with each other on the street. And husband was very heavily built and wife was little small. And fighting was going on. And Akbar was seeing that fighting amongst them. And it was in a climax. And at the climax, what was happened, that wife slapped on the face of the husband. Then Akbar was surprised to see what will be the consequence, because husband was heavily built. He thought, what will happen to the wife if the husband slaps back, what will happen to her? But with great surprise, Akbar saw that the husband kept his head below and walked away. And Akbar was surprised. Is a man or is there something else? Then Birbal said, every husband is like that. Whatever wife says, they follow that. Then Akbar said, no, it cannot be like that, because he got insulted, because he is also a husband. So Akbar said, no, all the husbands are not like that. Birbal said, no, all the husbands are like this only. Then Akbar said, okay, call all the husbands in our assembly. So all the husbands are invited. Then all the husbands came in a big hall. So Akbar and Birbal entered into the scene. And Akbar asked an open question to all the husbands. Said, those who are standing here in this hall, I'll ask a question. If you follow whatever your wife says, then come from the right-hand side of the hall to the left-hand side of the hall. Those who follow strictly whatever your wife says. So, with great surprise, Akbar saw all the husbands have started moving to the other side of the hall. And Birbal started smiling. Then, when everything was over, but one person was standing on the right-hand side. Then Akbar got delighted. Yes, at least one man is there. So Birbal said, don't be so excited, let us approach and ask why he is standing there. So Akbar and Birbal went there and asked, why you are standing this side? It means you don't follow whatever your wife says. He said, it's not like that. Then why you are standing? No, my wife said, don't be in the crowd, always be away from the crowd. That's why I am away and I am standing this side. So this is the condition, and our King Uttanapada also was influenced by this quality. But a leader, if you want to be a leader, you should not be influenced by your wife. Then you lose your credibility as a leader. And that has happened to King Uttanapada. Then with a great sorrow in his heart, Dhruva Maharaj came to his mother Suniti. And as Dhruva was a Kshatriya boy, so he was very much insulted by his mother's harsh words, and he took shelter of his mother. But mother Suniti was a very ideal character. She took the whole thing in a very positive spirit. And Suniti said to Dhruva, "Dhruva, your mother told the words in a harsh way, but why you don't take the essence of his offer words?" What she said? She said, "In order to sit on the lap of your father, you have to worship Narayan. So why not take that essence and start worshipping Narayan? Start worshipping the Lord. That is the essence, whatever your mother said." So Dhruva Maharaj took the instruction of his mother very seriously. And he said, "Okay, I should worship Narayan, but where is Narayan available? Where I can get Narayan?" So Mother Suniti said, "I heard from different saints and sages that they go to the forest to search for God. So I think God is available in the forest. So you go to the forest." So Dhruva Maharaj took it very seriously and he left home and started moving towards the forest. So what happens? On the way, Narad Muni appeared in front of Dhruva Maharaj. The question is, Narad Muni was not staying with Dhruva Maharaj, and he was not also aware what's going on in the palace of King Uttanapada. Then how come when Dhruva Maharaj was traveling to the forest and Narad Muni came in front of him? It is explained that it was the inspiration of Paramatma. When a sincere soul wants to achieve the Lord, Lord always helps him from within. So that is a process to get a guru. How you can get a guru or spiritual master? When you sincerely pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by your sincere prayer, spiritual master becomes available. So in the same way, Dhruva Maharaj was very sincere and he wanted to achieve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because of his sincere desire, Krishna from within inspired Narad Muni to appear before Dhruva Maharaj. So as soon as Narad Muni came in front of Dhruva Maharaj, he said that Narada, who is Narad Muni, who can give Narayan? Nara means Narayan, Da means who can give. So as Dhruva Maharaj was seeking Narayan, so Narad Muni was there because he can give Narayan. Who can give the Lord? Only the pure devotees of the Lord can give Lord. So Narad Muni, who can give the Lord, he came in front of Dhruva Maharaj. So the relationship between spiritual master and a disciple is very unique. Generally, a disciple should not accept the spiritual master blindly. At the same time, spiritual master also does not take the disciple blindly. Spiritual master always tests the disciple. So Narad Muni wanted to test Dhruva Maharaj. And he started talking to Dhruva Maharaj. And he wanted to discourage Dhruva Maharaj to go back home. So as soon as Narad Muni started talking, Dhruva Maharaj was listening very carefully. So Narad Muni started explaining why he should go back home. So Narad Muni said that Dhruva, you are a child. For a child, there cannot be any respect and disrespect. How you are taking it so seriously? Nothing happened in your life. Why you are taking it so seriously? You are a child. For a child, there should not be any discrimination of insult and praise. So forget it. And then he said, second point, that if you think, no, you are not a child, you are matured, then you should accept this happening as a mercy of the Lord. And this is happening because of your past karma. So, when something bad happens in our life, we should accept that that is because of my past karma and that is because of the mercy of the Lord. So you should take in that spirit. And anything bad happens is because of our past karma. So one day, one man along with his friend entered into a restaurant, a hotel, and started eating. And that restaurant has a unique system. And he said, you don't have to pay the bill. Your grandson will pay the bill. He said, okay, good, nice. So I don't have to pay. So he entered into the restaurant and started eating. So after eating was over, that restaurant manager gave a bill. Then this man became very angry. He said, why you are giving me bill? You said that I don't have to pay the bill, my grandson will pay the bill. So why you are giving the bill? He said, this is not your bill, it's the bill of your grandfather. So it happens like that. That's called past karma. Whatever we do in the past, that will come as a consequence in the future. We cannot escape. Sometimes people ask, oh, I have done something wrong. If I do something good, then it can counterbalance. But a good thing cannot counterbalance the bad thing. That is the law of karma. In this material, in this world also, for example, you have done something nonsense and you are punishable by the law of the country. But somehow or other you escaped and you became devotee. You joined the temple. So after 5 years, police has discovered you and caught you. You can tell police, oh, I have done this 5 years ago, but these 5 years I have done so much good things. Why not counterbalance? It will happen? No. Because you have done something wrong in the eyes of law, so you have to face the consequences. So here in this world also, it cannot counterbalance. Then how in the court of God, it can counterbalance. So if you do good things, you will enjoy the good results. And if you do bad things, you have to suffer the bad results. But sometimes when people ask questions, so this man is doing all nonsense in his life, but he is having happy life, prosperous. But someone is doing all good things, but he is suffering. People get confused. So he said, maybe God is not there. But we should not be confused. If someone is doing good now, means he is getting the good results of his past activity. And whatever bad he is doing now, he will get the result in the future. But we always think in according to our own time frame. In this court of law also, in the country, sometimes you commit some sinful activity, commit some crime, it takes time in the court to give the judgment. It doesn't mean that court is not working. In the same way, sometimes you do something nonsense, but you don't get the results quickly, but it will come in due course of time. If you do something good, good result will come, and if you do something bad, bad results also will come. That is called law of karma. So Narad Muni was trying to tell Dhruva Maharaj, that if you feel that you are not a child, then you should think whatever has happened to you is because of your past karma. Accept like that. And accept that is the blessings of Krishna. Then he said that many have come to the forest to search for God, but majority of them they have failed. So why not you should go back? You may also fail. Why you are taking so much trouble to get God? So please go back. Then he said that you are a child. Performing this kind of austerity is not for the child. When you grow a little elderly, then you come and do this austerity. So now you go back home. And he said you should develop three qualities. What is that quality? If your superior is very prosperous, you should be happy with that. You should be very happy. If your superiors are good, you should be happy. You should not be envious of your superior's prosperity. If someone is your friend, you should be friendly to that friend. Don't become too much bossy around those friends and try to impress those friends. And if someone is inferior, be merciful to that person and don't exploit the inferior people. So in that way, Narada Muni gave so many instructions to Dhruva Maharaj so that he can go back. But Dhruva was very determined. Dhruva Maharaj said, okay, my dear spiritual master, whatever you have said is very nice, but this kind of instruction are for the brahmanas. But I am a kshatriya. This kind of instruction don't apply to me. What I want? I don't want this instruction. This is for the brahmana. What I want? My mother insulted me that I cannot get the lap of my father. But I want a kingdom greater than the kingdom of my great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. So that's my desire. So if you can fulfill that desire, please give the instruction so that I can get that desired results. So in that way, Dhruva Maharaj's determination was firmly established. And Dhruva Maharaj's quality as a disciple was also established. What was the quality of Dhruva Maharaj as a disciple? He expressed his heart. He was very straightforward. And he was very simple-hearted. Generally, a disciple should not keep something within in front of the spiritual master. He should disclose the heart, whatever is there inside. Then we can get the benefit of spiritual master. But if you don't want to disclose that, then how spiritual master will help us? So therefore, Dhruva Maharaj was greedy. He was greedy for a big post. Sometimes we may have also that kind of greed, but we don't disclose that. And we try to pose we are so good. So artificially keeping ourselves in a good situation will not help us. So when we have disease, we have to disclose that disease to the doctor. If you go to your doctor, if you don't disclose your disease, then it's very difficult for the doctor to do the treatment. In the same way, spiritual master is like the spiritual doctor. Therefore, in order to get the spiritual treatment, we have to disclose our problems, anarthas, our desires. So Dhruva Maharaj was very much aware of this and he explained his desire and he expressed his desire very clearly to his spiritual master. And Narada Muni was very much impressed by that. And because of that, Narada Muni was very happy with his disciple and he gave him the instructions, the process of devotional service. So when a disciple is very much determined and very sincere, then spiritual master gives the instruction by which you can achieve the success in your devotional service. So Narada Muni started giving instruction to Dhruva Maharaj. Then Dhruva Maharaj went to Madhuban in Vrindavan and started his austerity. And Dhruva Maharaj's austerity was there for 6 months. Dhruva Maharaj did austerity for 6 months. And what he did, you should try to hear that. Dhruva Maharaj, for the first month, he used to chant the mantra, not Hare Krishna Mahamantra, because he is in Satya Yuga. He was chanting the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he was in the forest in meditation, and he started taking fruits and berries in every 3 days. 3 days fasting, and every 3 days you eat, he used to eat fruits and berries for 1 month. Then in the second month, he changed that diet also, and every 6 months, Dhruva Maharaj used to eat the leaves of the trees. Every 6 days in the second month. Then in the third month, Dhruva Maharaj stopped that also. And in the third month, he started drinking water once in 9 days. So 9 days Nirjala Kadasi, then take some water, again 9 days. So it went on for 1 month. Then he stopped that also in the fourth month. And he started taking air in every 12 days. So 12 days no breathing, after 12 days breathing, then again another 12 days. Then he said, that is also too much. Then fifth month, he stopped the breathing also. And he closed all the doors of his body. And because of that, whole atmosphere, whole planetary system started choking up. And everybody was feeling they could not breathe. And because of that, all the demigods got frightened. What is happening? So they approached Narayan, Vishnu. He said that your devotee is doing some austerity, and because of his austerity, we are going to die now. So do something. So Narayan said, don't worry, he is my devotee. He is not doing this austerity to kill you. He has some good intentions. So I'll go to him and stop his austerity. And the 6 month, Lord Narayan appeared in front of Dhruva Maharaj. So in 6 months, Dhruva Maharaj could see Lord face to face. So the question may arise, that Dhruva Maharaj in 6 months could see the Lord face to face. So as a practicing devotee of this Hare Krishna movement, is there any possibility for us to see the Lord face to face? Prabhupada said, yes, it's possible. And Prabhupada expects, may not be in 6 months, but at least in this life. In this life, we should try to perfect our life, and Krishna, we can see Krishna face to face. Now people, when we preach Krishna consciousness, people ask, oh, you want to show me God, but have you seen God? So the question, answer should be that if I see God also, what does that matter to you? Who can see God? Lord Brahma explains in Brahma Sangita, Premanjana churita bhakti vilachanana santa sadaiva hidayesu vilakayanti jang samsundara machinta guna sarupam govindam adipurusam tamaham bhajami. A devotee at the level of bhava bhakti develop that love by which he can see the Lord. So those who don't know, Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion, there is a book, he explains different levels of devotion. And he said there are 3 kinds of devotion, sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. So sadhana bhakti starts from the shraddha till asakti, and at the level of bhava bhakti all the senses are purified and we can get a spiritual eye, and with that eye we can see the Lord face to face. So therefore, Dhruva Maharaj got that level of bhava bhakti and prema bhakti in 6 months. But Prabhupada expects that his followers, at least in this life, should achieve that level. The question may arise that what kind of austerity we should do as a practicing devotee of ISKCON. Because austerity is the foundation of our spiritual life. When Lord Brahma was created by Vishnu, he was moving from downward to upward in the stem, lotus stem, and he was not finding what to do. And he heard one sound, tapa, means do tapasya, do austerity. So austerity is the foundation of our spiritual life. And what is that austerity? Austerity means accepting voluntarily the pain of our body and pain of our senses and pain of our mind to purify our existence. That's a must for all practicing devotees. Without austerity, we cannot be purified. But austerity, different kinds of austerity are applicable for different kinds of people in different kinds of time. So what Prabhupada wants for all of us? Prabhupada said that austerity for the practicing devotee of our ISKCON movement is that they should strictly follow the four regulative principles. That is the first austerity. If you strictly follow the four regulative principles, that's a great austerity in this age of Kali. Second, he said that we should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very attentively, at least 16 rounds a day. That is second austerity. And third austerity, Prabhupada explains that we should eat only Krishna Prasad. Without offering to the Lord, we should not eat anything. Only Krishna Prasad we should accept. And Prabhupada used to give example austerity of rising early for Mangal Arati in winter. That is austerity. Rising early is very, very important austerity for all practicing devotees. Not once in a week, every day. Prabhupada expected that his followers should rise up before 4 o'clock every day without fail. Unless you are sick. And Prabhupada used to explain, if someone is not rising early in the morning, it's the symptom of his spiritual weakness. So therefore, rising early every day is very, very important austerity to purify our life. So, because devotional service, the best time to perform devotional service is during the Brahma Muhurta time. Time is also divided into three sections, mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. So from Brahma Muhurta till sunrise, where sun rises, here sun does not rise in London, but where sun rises, the time from Brahma Muhurta till sunrise is called mode of goodness. From sunrise to sunset is mode of passion, and from sunset till the next Brahma Muhurta is mode of ignorance. So we should devote our life, Prabhupada explains, for spiritual activity during that time, from Brahma Muhurta to sunrise. That is the best time to perform our devotional service. So that is the austerity we should do even in the winter. Summer is easy, but in the winter is difficult, but that is our austerity. We should do that. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that Dhruva Maharaj could see the Lord face to face not because that he did the austerity. Austerity was not the cause of Dhruva Maharaj's success. What was the cause of Dhruva Maharaj's success? The cause of Dhruva Maharaj's success was he had implicit faith in the words and instruction of his spiritual master. Dhruva Maharaj strictly followed what his spiritual master said. And that was the cause of his success. It's not that because Dhruva Maharaj was eating only leaves and water and like that, because of that he could see the Lord face to face. Not. Why he could see the Lord face to face? Because he followed the instruction of his spiritual master very sincerely. And he had implicit faith in the words of his spiritual master. In the same way, we should have our faith in the words of our spiritual master in the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. So when Srila Prabhupada, the reporter asked, or some devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the cause of your success? Prabhupada said that I have no qualification. But only one qualification I have, that I had complete faith in the words of my spiritual master. That is the cause of my success. It's called Vyapsayatmika Buddhi. When your mind and attention and intelligence is focused in the instruction of your spiritual master, then your success is guaranteed. So Dhruva Maharaj had implicit faith in the words of Narad Muni and also in the words of Suniti. He did not argue. Sunji said, go to the forest. He went to the forest. He said that God is available in the forest. He did not disagree with that. He had complete faith in that. But we do so many things, but we don't have faith. We do superficially. Okay, they have said, let's do it. But we don't have complete faith in the words. So therefore, the secret of success is that we should have complete faith in the words of the spiritual master, the guru, the Vaishnavas, previous acharyas. We should have complete faith in those. And that's why Dhruva Maharaj got success in his spiritual life. Now what is the reaction? After Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord face to face. So Narayan is there standing in front of him and Dhruva Maharaj is praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what he is praying? He is praying, he had lot of prayers, but out of those prayers, one prayer is very, very important and very much applicable for all of us to realize what is the essence of our devotional service. And he is praying to Lord Narayan that I pray at your lotus feet that I can get constant association of your pure devotees and I can get a chance to hear about your glories from the lips of your pure devotees. And that much I aspire. That is my aspiration. What is Dhruva Maharaj's aspiration? He is seeing the Lord face to face. But what he is asking for? He is asking for the association of the pure devotees so that he can hear about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because that is the ultimate success and that is the ultimate goal of our spiritual life. Chanting and hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees. Why he was asking for that? We may be thinking, oh, he is not so intelligent, he is asking sentimentally. No. He is completely intelligent person and he was asking because there is some reason behind that. Where Krishna resides, where pure devotee talks about him. He said that his physical presence may be here now and may not be there in the future. But if I have constant association of his pure devotees, then I can see Krishna always. So how I can realize Krishna all the time and I can see Krishna all the time if I am in the association of the pure devotees and we can talk about him and when you hear from the pure devotees of the Lord, then we can experience the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at every moment. So therefore, hearing from the pure devotees is the secret of our success in spiritual life. And why? Because the pure devotee, when he speaks about Krishna, he talks from the heart. He does not speak from his intellect. Generally, when we give lecture, we speak from our intellect. We prepare the class, this sloka, that sloka, try to compile it and give lecture. But when pure devotee talks, he talks from his heart. And Shastra explains the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, resides in the heart of a pure devotee. So when that pure devotee talks, then that sound vibration carries the aroma of the dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when that sound vibration enters into the ears of an attentive listener, that sound vibration goes into the heart of that listener. And that awakens his God consciousness. And by that process, the relationship between that speaker and that listener is established heart to heart. And Krishna from the heart of that pure devotee is transferred to the heart of that listener. Therefore, hearing from the pure devotees of the Lord is a secret of success in our life. In 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained, when Krishna appeared in this material world, he appeared in the heart of Vasudev. Vasudev represents Shuddha Sattva, or pure goodness. When our heart is free from lust, anger, greed, these anarthas, when our heart is free from the mode of passion and ignorance, it becomes very pure. And that stage is called Vasudev platform or Shuddha Sattva platform. And when our heart is free from mode of passion and ignorance, at that moment and at that platform, Krishna can appear there. So therefore, Vasudev represents Shuddha Sattva. That's why Krishna first appeared in the heart of Vasudev. Then from the heart of Vasudev, Krishna was transferred to the heart of Devaki. Why? Because Devaki was the wife of Vasudev, but she was acting like a disciple of Vasudev. And by that sincere service of Devaki, Vasudev was very pleased. And because Vasudev was very pleased with the sincere service of Devaki, Krishna could not control himself and he was transferred from the heart of Vasudev to the heart of Devaki. So Devaki represent disciple and Vasudev represent the spiritual master. When a disciple, by their sincere service attitude, satisfies the spiritual master, the Krishna who is residing in the heart of the spiritual master is transferred from the heart of the spiritual master to the heart of the disciple. And that is the way Krishna can be captured in the heart. And that is the only way we can see Krishna face to face. There is no other ways. And that was the realization of Dhruva Maharaj, and he was praying for that. Although Krishna was there in front of him, but what he is asking for? He is asking for the association of pure devotees, and he wanted to hear about Krishna from the lips of the pure devotees, because that is the success of our spiritual life. So to sum up the whole episode, that we have learned, first we have learned that material source of security or material desire is the cause of our bondage. Therefore, we should be free from material desire and we should try to get protection from Krishna only. Second thing, that when we deal with the devotees, we should avoid harsh words. And what is the root cause of our harsh words? Because of our false ego. So therefore, we should be free from false ego, and the process of getting free from false ego or pride is, we should pass on the credit to others, we should reveal our heart, we should accept criticism, we should develop humility, and we should engage in the service of the Lord. And our speech should be very palatable, it should not break the heart of the people, it should be truthful, pleasing, beneficial and based on Shastra. And we should not become angry, we should try to avoid anger, because anger is very, very dangerous in our spiritual life. And we should not be influenced by somebody else as a leader, just like Uthanapad was not a proper leader because he was influenced by his wife. So to become a perfect leader, we should not be influenced by so-called relationship. We should be neutral in our approach. And when someone talks very roughly, we should not take it badly. We should take the essence, the way Suniti took it. Suruchi used so much harsh words, but Suniti said, take the essence. What was the essence? Worship Narayan. So therefore, an intelligent person always takes the essence of the talk, the way Suniti took the essence from the harsh word of Suruchi. And he did not want to take the whole thing in a negative way. Suniti took everything in a very positive way, and she properly guided Dhruva Maharaj. And that's why Suniti was qualified to become a guru, although she was not a pure devotee of the Lord. And Dhruva Maharaj had implicit faith in the words of his mother. His mother said, go to the forest, Lord is available in the forest. Because Dhruva Maharaj had implicit faith, he went to the forest. As Dhruva Maharaj is very sincere, he could have darshan of his spiritual master Narad Muni. And Narad Muni wanted to test the sincerity of his disciple Dhruva Maharaj, and he tried to discourage Dhruva Maharaj to go to do this austerity, and wanted to encourage him to go back home. But Dhruva Maharaj was very much determined, and he passed through the test of Narad Muni, and therefore Narad Muni accepted him as a disciple. So therefore the process is that a disciple should test the spiritual master, and also the spiritual master should also test the disciple before accepting him as a disciple. So both of them went through that process, and Narad Muni accepted Dhruva Maharaj as his disciple, and he gave him instruction. And Dhruva Maharaj followed his instruction very strictly for 6 months, and in 6 months he could have the darshan of Lord Narayan. And Prabhupada explains the success of Dhruva Maharaj was not because of his austerity, rather he was successful because of his sincere desire to please the spiritual master and implicit faith in the words of the spiritual master. That's why he became successful. And when Lord Narayan appeared before him, what he prayed, he did not pray to have darshan of the Lord. Rather, he prayed to have association of his pure devotee, and he wanted to hear about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the pure devotees of the Lord. That is the aspiration of Dhruva Maharaj. So following in his footsteps, we, the practicing devotee of Krishna consciousness, we should be grateful to Srila Prabhupada that he has created a society, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, where we are getting ample opportunities to hear about Krishna from pure devotees of the Lord. So therefore, what Narad Muni was giving to Dhruva Maharaj, it is very easily available to all of us, but we have to accept it the way Dhruva Maharaj accepted, with sincerity. Then, the way Dhruva Maharaj was successful in his spiritual practice, we will also become successful in our endeavor. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthasrimad Bhagavatam ki, Samaveda Gaura Bhaktavinda ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Bo.